That's right. First case chapter 10, it's like chapter 9.
Over here in our first chapter, basically identified two chapter loss of 36 44 chaos.
But solid is lying. So, well,
the power. Pretty verse 14 of Frank Keys chapter 10.
The way of gold that came to Solomon purely for 666 talents.
Gold.
Besides that, traveling merchants from the Imbus prayers of all the kingdom of Arabia and dropped the governments of Pertalats.
666 out of gold. Well, that was interesting. A tad number is the number of carat of an ounce of gold. I thought he was counting silver. He thought counting bronze. That's not count ivory or wood or other things I gear.
But that's not counting, but the penny, the treasure, size, after crap, produce, and so on.
So why did the writer of First Kings and of Second Chronicles choose just to focus on the gold? And that it is 666 down. And interesting. That's what in light of, you know, Revelation saying, part of the pieces of 666. There's a lot to that. We don't have time to get into it today. But seven throughout the Bible seems to show that this number of perfection. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that seven is the number of perfection or completion. But we see that. God created the earth in 7 days. He completed creation. He says everything was good, very good, on the seventh day. So we get this commonality. Mankind was created on the sixth day. And so sometimes we look at that, that the number six have a deal with man. And so man's work, man's ability representing six, less than seven, not quite perfect. This kind of analogy. And so the triple six, Korea has to revive it as well, and the three flips it together. And so there's a lot of different ways of the symbolizer. So
the workings of man as opposed to the workings of God. And you see that here in Solomon's life. Now, how much was 666 talents of gold? Well, 666 talents is equivalent to 50,000 pounds of gold. Now, there are 800,000 ounces in 50,000 pounds. The current value of gold right now, this week, is about $1,600 per ounce. We multiply that by 800,000 ounces, and that's over $1.25 trillion per year just of gold that was coming into his kingdom. Plus silver, plus bronze, brass, whatever, and everything else, and then plus what the traveling merchants and the traders and the kings of Arabia and the governors were bringing in. That's a pretty good budget. I wouldn't mind having a in a gun like that, to be able to spend. Well, that's what Solomon had coming in yearly. And that's like maybe the average of his life or whatever. It wasn't just 1 year, but it says yearly. And so, whether that's the average or however, came up with that amount to write down which year they cut, picked, or they averaged it, or however they did. That's a lot of gold. That's a lot of influence, a lot of power that Solomon had. Solomon's wealth was X. King Solomon made 200 large shields of hammered gold, 600 shekels, which is 15 pounds worth, or about $250,000 of gold went into each shield. That's a pretty heavy shield, 15-pound shield to carry around. He also made 300 shields of hammered gold, made of thrumens, or about 4 pounds, that'd be better to carry around, 4 pounds of gold, went into each shield. Now, that total of those 500 shields, 200 large shields, and the 300 smaller shields, put together 500 shields, that is $100 million worth of gold just in those 500 shields. Now, I don't know how protective those shields were. I mean, I guess they could protect you from a firing arrow. But if someone came at you with an iron sword and, smashed down on it, I think iron is a whole lot stronger than gold.
Those shields were now for protection purposes for the army, especially at that expense. But Murph was sure, I guess he would have those, you know, displayed in the palace, walked into the palace, and he had the real guards outside. He had the show guards inside on his big gold shields, you know, when he had the Queen of Sheba and his other people coming into his house. There they were with their shields of gold, 500 of them, 200 large ones, 300 small ones, $100 million worth of gold just in shields. And I guess when you have more than you know what to do with, that's what you do with it. And the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with pure gold. I think that throne is probably a little small. It sounded like everything big. That imagine even bigger than that. It made out of ivory and then overlaid with gold. Now, if you had a throne of ivory, why would you overlay it with gold? The ivory being iced it up. I don't know if the whole thing was covered with gold, because then what would give the purpose of making out of ivory, right? You know, wood and just overlay it. So maybe it was decorated with gold, right? Trimmed with gold, or whatever. It certainly had enough gold if it wanted to hold the light Buddha. He could do it. But so he's sitting on his great throne, and the throne had six steps leading up to it. And the top of the throne was round at the back, and there were armrests on either side, and two lions stood beside the armrest. 12 lions stood there, one on each side of the six steps. Nothing like this had been made for any other kingdom. There we go, we have six steps. Not seven, but six steps. Because if you count the platform, I'm imagining there were probably 14 lions total the way it's listed here. Two tall lions beside him on the platform there where his throne is, and then six steps going down, and one lion on each of the, or two lions, one on each side of the steps, so 12 plus the two.
Yeah, envisioning, I guess.
So he just, very impressive. All of Solomon's drinking vessels were gold. Not one of them was silver. For this was accounted as nothing in the days of Solomon. There was nothing. I can't make my cups out of silver. Every cup is going to be of gold. And I don't think he got just a six-place setting or an eight-place setting. You know, all of his cups, man, not just only his drinking cup, but all for everyone in his, not the whole kingdom, but everyone in his throne room and everyone who came to visit, you know. So we have kings and queens visiting, and he'd have bold cups for everybody there, drink from. And once every 3 years, the merchant ships came bringing gold and silver and ivory and apes and monkeys. I don't know either with the apes and monkeys, but, you know, it was apes and monkeys. Everything, yeah, bring more. None of this. King Solomon surpassed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. All the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. If God gave him the wisdom, it's not denying that. God gave him the wisdom. Whoever wanted to come and hear the wisdom that God had placed upon him. This is kind of a picture of what they imagined the steps. Going up, he's like, out of his steps there in the picture, and Raymond, Queen of Sheba going up to him. I think those are kind of small lions. Again, I envision this is just the artist's rendition, but I think if I was the artist, I'd make those lions even bigger. Solomon did everything huge. He did everything there. See how he did in the temple, and the dimensions of the temple went bigger than the original that Moses had built. And so, Solomon's. Well, Solomon had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen. The king made silver as common in Jerusalem as stone. He made cedar trees as abundant as the sycamores which are in the low. He had an ape. He had the riches in Rome. He had the power. He had military power. He had chariots. In verse 28, Solomon had horses imported from Egypt. That verse is very significant. I have it underlined there. That portion of the verse is very significant. More so than everything else there. Because it could go back to Deuteronomy, interestingly enough. Bilami, the passes that's coming up, list that broke into Parsha. I didn't plan it that way. See how it worked out? How, Parsha reading going along with it, like a song, points to them for this portion. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 14. It says, when you come to the land, which the Lord your God is giving you, and say, I will set a king over me like all the nations. Lo shall set a king over you whom the Lord your God chooses from your brethren, not afar. Your God's giving a prediction. This is written, Moses wrote this back in Deuteronomy. We're still in the wilderness. Have not yet crossed into the promised land with the whole title of the judges, which were even asked for a king. And so we have about 400 years. For God's prophesying, 400 years from now, you're going to ask for a king. You ask for a king, I'm going to designate the king to you. And you need to be one chosen from your nation, not a foreigner. But he shall not multiply horses for himself. How many chariots? 1,400 chariots? Just one horse per chariot, if not more? He shall not multiply horses for himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt to multiply horses. For the Lord has said to you, we shall not return that way again. What did Solomon get his horses? Answer. Direct rebellion, direct disobedience to the word of God straight out of the Torah. This is one of the areas that Solomon made a drastic misstep. Trying to build up his kingdom, trying to build up his might, trying to build up the power of the kingdom, and went in disobedience to the word of our. Then, think chapter verse 17, nor shall he greatly multiply silver and gold for himself. What did Solomon do? And that's so much silver that it was as nothing, and gold for himself, for his drinking cups, his shields, show, his ivory throne to be inlaid with, overlaid with. Direct disobedience to the word of. Now, could you think, with all that power and all that riches, $1.25 trillion of just gold coming in every year? Those horses, let my chariots. Be in pretty good shape, right? That should last a long time. Those shields went down 5 years after Solomon died.
Egypt comes in, you got to either get the Solomon's son.
Egypt comes in and takes the shields away. The Solomon's son, 5 years.
After Solomon died, the fifth year of Rehoboth. We've been amassed
wealth for ourselves. We can surround ourselves with things that we think will protect us, will sustain us, will help us, will put us where we think we want, help us all the way into our old age and death. Bible says, there to those who go to Egypt for help. This is in Isaiah now. Isaiah is after Solomon, way after Solomon. Woe to those who go to Egypt for help. So it warned them, Deuteronomy. We're reminded again by Solomon's example. We're reminded again all the way to the time of Isaiah. Woe to those who go to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But do not look to the Holy One of Israel, nor seek the law. Woe to us as a nation. Woe to us as a people. Woe to us as individual. When we trust might, power, to strength, to influence, wisdom, knowledge, education, trusting in ourselves. I'm not seeking alone. All the amassed wealth was gone instantaneous. Psalms 20, Solomon's father wrote, some trust in chariots, some in horses. What's Ireland did?
but we will remember the name of Lord our God. In the name of Lord our God, hell.
It's trusting in him. It's trusting in his authority. It's trusting in his character. It's trusting in his might, in his power.
I'm trusting in the things it is. I'm trusting in his government.
I'm trusting in our retirement benefits or karma's pensions or anything on this earth.
It's trusting in the Lord. Our God will sustain.
Again, it doesn't mean we shouldn't have a bank account. It doesn't mean we should get a 401k or whatever, put some money away for the government. Doesn't mean we shouldn't have money for an emergency fund because it means that you shouldn't have insurance.
We don't trust in those things to have this.
Even had chariots and warriors. I wasn't saying warriors. Okay to have those things, but that's not where our trust is. Our trust is in the Lord our God. Because it doesn't need those things. They can drive out the Canaanites with horses. The Bible says it was his original plan. Given the chaseable armies with just 300 and Gideon's miss.
Again, it's not wrong to have and train and prepare and be ready. That's not where our trust is. And that's where Solomon is now. Accumulating and accumulating just for his.
For his own pride, for his own ego, his own desires.
Thing disappears. So.
Vanity of that. Trusting. In 1 Timothy, Rabbi Paul reminds us, man those who are rich, not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works. Ready to give, willing to share, stirring up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal.
Lower the cosmos.
The focus, the laying up for ourselves in the kingdom of heaven, where no law, no lust will destroy what will. Putting God folk, having God ground in our hearts and in our lives, on him to be war, cost him for our might, then for our power, but for him for our feet, fish, and all our plans of this fruit.
God, what would you have me to do?
Plan for the day, leave him at his feet, pick up or discard, morning feet, lay our funds at his feet, or how would you have to give for her? What's these that? Using it wise, well, what would you have me to buy?
With that, dedicating everything, consecrating everything to the Lord.
Allowing God to give us the wisdom how to use, or wisdom that he's given to us, finances that he's given to us, influence that he's given to us, might, power, whatever we have, whatever is placed in our position, possession, goes for his honor and glory.
As it says here, let the rich,
let him do thy, do which he did what. How long did he rich? Abraham had Richard. He redeemed us that Richard. Used it for the Lord's offer.
Abraham must have been generous. Using it. Was on. Was there a time? He's into this honor.
I wanted greatness or sight.
Honest greatness, even served them twice.
In a great beginning, Father set him up well. Solomon used it well for many years. They got distracted. Well, Yeshua said it's easier for camel that goes to an eye of a needle, but for a rich man, like Robert Hoover, this is probably the strongest stare. It gets them away from the law. The God's given this pensive bird, giving back to him regularly and systematically, kind and offered, helps to keep up for this. While he's given us the Sabbath, it helps to keep us from becoming orphaned up. Helps to keep us from depending on ourselves and our job, finances. That's given us these things. It will keep us a bit checks it down.
Welcome. The lines dedicate servant now.
Think of the many people who've given their lives of great wisdom and great talents. Whether musical talents, mystical abilities, or as doctors, or people with great minds, their wisdom, would they be storing up riches for themselves, and yet have chosen to become medical missionaries, foreign countries, working at a stipend, but Omaha, too many people are many flights. Joseph Spinnerbilt tell. Go a great app, said, girl, I got serval. Read my talent, read my ability, and see my win from the war asks out. Do not get distracted. Let's go compromise, safe. Compromise, ball. Compromise, wool. Scoring up to themselves foundation for the time to come, that they may all
to I want to tell them.
They reigned for 40 years. Says it was a young man when he became kings. Maybe he was 20, let's say. Let's say 60. How long was it took? How much better? We have reason to believe that Solomon, the end of his life, turned back to. He had no guarantee that he. Praise God, he did. The many don't. Many people get distracted by the gold and the silver and the ivory of this blur. Never literally. Well, was this even a little richer? How many of you are old enough to know that? What was it? Double. A richer, for reason. One time in his life, dedicated self. Dedicated to. Thing and fortune and despair here. Then for a while he came back. He asked under his bad album. It distracted us.
Edward servant thou might have.
My God glorified us here on this earth to diffuse his way and his being an influence for good and being rich in good works.
Stalling out the pain of
preacher. Caring for eternity. Putting aside for eternity. Did put aside for retirement here on this. What more put aside for timely. Store up our treasures of half. Gills up that account. Not just that account for ourselves, but just fill that heaven up with more people. That's what it's all about. All of that. Have it. Many friends there are false. Living for God. Not to listen.
Then Solomon's whole thing is
just years after was death.
We'll nest for ourselves here.
666 gallons of gold. Every not even last a 2 year death of him. I think it was Sinipathy, 6-6. It was Solomon's, and you asked him, was he? He didn't want a lot of things that are dedicated to the lives that are dedicated to the talents, the abilities that are dedicated to God. Finances, riches, and possessions dedicated to
lives about screen.
Whitney Hisburn. Reverend. Lee was harmed. This.
And if you're thinking those days,
prayed in some area in your life that God's requesting, or some area of influence and maybe some very power, maybe for a bit. Protections, the area that you're feeling, you need to be protected with shields and chariots. Maybe where you're trying to protect yourself or help yourself do things in your own way. Solve some problem in your life there. Your genetic problem, your financial problem, God situation. Lend it over to me. Nothing more. And then to all. Let him guide you and direct. If there's some area in your life where you're coveting and holding on to something, maybe some area of wealth, maybe some kind of possession, something that's so important to you. See over and over again in history in the Bible, let me let go. Those that pose some area in your life, clutching on to, really in your life. Willing to give to God. And let God choose whether he wants you to begin to have or if he chooses to have you share it with someone.
You're crying.
Thinking for your beach that the Yoshima was here. Nearing our life itself. What do we want? We're written in our record books of this. Make our choices far. We're done. Make a decision. Dedicate our time, our life. We're walking with warts. We're walking with void. No greater. We're fully surrendering. Follow his will for her. For he's ready to die. In whatever area applies to the individual, surrender it can be. Our Lord and our God, King of the universe, we are thankful. You've paved the path and you've given us examples. People like Nicodemus, who gave up all, gave up his position in the Sanhedrin. Nicodemus as well, Paul as well. Give up the riches of this world. Go and become a tent maker. Boil out his hand. Be beaten and flogged and chased out of town. Look at the example of other people that we've seen on this earth that dedicated their lives fully to you and serving you, man. We'll see in the opposite side, we'll see those who serve as well. The gold and the silver and the gems and the diamond. Lord, we want to surrender our lives to you and we want to be surrendered to you. We want to give you permission to take control of our lives. We want you to guide and direct us and give you permission to show us, Lord, is there anything in our life, any area, even if we started off good and even if we're doing good today, is there any area in our life like Calamus, maybe later on? You will like Solomon right now today, Lord. We don't know how. We need wisdom to help these people around. Lord, is there something in our life that would distract us in the future? You want it surrendered now. We want you to remove it now. Any pride and vanity, any lifting up of self, holding on to things of this world, possessions of this world, our dreams, we want to surrender them to you. Our hopes, our ambitions, we want to surrender them to you. Lay them at your feet. We ask that you would guide and direct in our life. We be you to be our clear. And this year is my rhythm. Amen.